deconstructing some very badly argued points. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelich.
And I just love deconstructing things.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't call you a deconstructionist, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you were with us on yesterday's program, you realize that what we're deconstructing is an article written by Kurt Schlichter on Breitbart.com that's entitled, Time for Ron Paul Fans to Support the Constitution. Well, frankly, I like a lot of what Ron Paul says. I don't agree with him on a couple of his positions, but that's fine. We all have differences. I'm not sure I agree with much of anything that either Mitt Romney or Barack Obama says, but I'm not here to convince you to not vote for either one of those two guys. I'm here to talk about those like Mr. Schlichter who are trying to convince people who think that Ron Paul and others like him really have something to add to the political commentary and the dialogue in our country, but who would say that you're just hurting things. Or as Schlichter puts it in his article from Breitbart.com, that guys like Ron Paul, Gary Johnson, who's the Libertarian candidate, and Virgil Good, who's the candidate of the Constitution Party, Charles, do not stand for collectivism. You know, he's putting them up against Barack Obama and his collectivist tendencies. He says, but right now, they stand in the way of stopping collectivism. That absolutely is bombastic rhetoric that has no relationship to the truth.
Well, it's asinine. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's completely asinine. It bears no resemblance to anything regarding truth or logic. It's simply a throwaway statement that is supposed to convince us. And Barry, the problem with these guys is, A, they think we're stupid. They think we're ideologues. And they think that this kind of rhetorical exercise is going to be impressive to us. They are actually talking down to us from their intellectual high here. And thank you. I think I am capable of looking at some situation and doing an analysis. And the fact that I haven't chosen your candidate doesn't mean you're smarter than me. What it means is you've been suckered by the false dichotomy, and that is Romney or Obama, or the only other choice is death. All we have to do is look at one of these arguments. Now, again, we're really early into this article, but the presupposition behind this argument is very telling. And this is this quote. Sure, the Democrats posture as guardians of freedom on a couple of issues, abortion, gay marriage, but that's just a pose. It's not part of any philosophy of human freedom. These are one-off policy choices made not because of a love for the Constitution, but because they are demanded by interest groups. The Democrats need to win elections. Whoa, 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 whoa. Love of the Constitution drives the push for abortion and gay marriage?
Well, that's the confused thinking of somebody who's desperately trying to get you to agree with them.
Not only that, it's not part of any philosophy of human freedom that these things are actually freedoms. Abortion is slavery, folks.
Yes, it is.
So's gay marriage. That's slavery to sin. That has nothing to do with any form of freedom. And here's where our presupposition jumps off the rails. We're looking at this from a Christian perspective. This is completely a messianic American statism, American civic religion, that Mitt Romney is our 4 or 8 year long Messiah who's going to pull us out of our tailspin and restore the Constitution because he has a real love of the Constitution. Well, Mitt Romney probably does have an inordinate love for the Constitution because, as a Mormon, he views it as a divinely inspired document.
Yes, and that's no exaggeration, ladies and gentlemen. In the Mormon faith, they do believe that the Constitution of the United States was as divinely inspired as the Scriptures were. Yes, you heard me right. Yes, they believe that it was God-breathed, and God worked through human men to give us the Constitution.
Well, these men were actually more divinely enlightened than the rest of society. And you're right. And they actually view it on par with Scripture. And they also view, and to that I always say, well, Scripture, of course, is inerrant, and the Constitution has flaws. And, of course, Mormons don't believe that Scripture is inerrant. They believe that you need the Book of Mormon to be able to tell where the errors are in the Bible. We've basically exposed that the presupposition here is completely in error, that these things have something to do with one another. When freedom becomes inconvenient, Democrats drop it like it's hot. To that, Barry, I would reply, USA Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act and doing nothing over the Kelo decision from the Supreme Court of the United States of America. All things that occurred on the Republican watch, where is the freedom? Where is it? It was dropped like it was hot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As we're getting down to this whole idea of the fact that there's trying to make the situation that, well, the Democrats are so horrible and they don't agree. Now, this is mainly, this article is keyed toward libertarians, Chuck, because
right.
many libertarians, even those who are registered as part of the Libertarian Party, back Ron Paul. They don't necessarily support Gary Johnson, who's the actual candidate of the National Libertarian Party. So this article is trying to key to these guys to try to convince them that you have to come back over and support what you believe are your constitutional freedoms by voting for Mitt Romney. And then this author goes on and says, and here's the other one. He says, that's why it's silly. And he's talking earlier about the whole issue that the Republicans aren't libertarian, but their libertarian conservatives make up a part of the party. And there are no libertarian liberals, as he calls them. Well, Chuck, you and I both know a lot of libertarian liberals.
Oh, you bet we do.
He says they're exactly zero. He hasn't taken too much time to look out his front door. And he says, that's why it's silly to dismiss Romney as, and they spelled it wrong, they have Romney in the article, Romney as no different than Obama. Some wave off their obligation to choose. Now get this, some wave off their obligation to choose with a cliche that Romney is just the, quote, lesser of two evils. Now, Chuck, first of all, if I choose not to pick your dichotomy of either this or that, and I say, no, there's another choice, and that's the choice I'm taking, I've not waived off my obligation to choose. I'm just not obligated to choose what you want me to choose. And that's right. A key issue here, ladies and gentlemen, and one that, honestly, we have to give liberty to our fellow brother. It grieves me to see people with Obama bumper stickers, 2012 bumper stickers, because I have to stop and think, do you not see what's going on? But then I get there thinking about it. Of course they don't see what's going on because they're blind to it, because things that are of the spiritual nature are spiritually discerned, and oftentimes you're blind to these things because you feel like, well, that's my guy and he's doing it and it's okay. Well, sort of like many conservatives with Romney. Well, he's my guy, he's the nominee, and we got to get rid of the other guy, and he's going to do it, so that's okay. I'm not sure if the obligation to choose isn't stronger and exercised better by those who refuse to be pulled into the dichotomy of an either-or choice. And you say the lesser of two evils. Well, the point is, Chuck, and you and I both know this from Scripture, that the nature of man basically is evil. It's not good. So all men have evil in them, okay? And he uses this whole idea, the key's lesser, as if it's okay to pick less evil. And then he uses this analogy, and I just laughed at this one, Chuck. You have to choose between encountering a hubcap thief and an axe murderer. You'd be a fool to shrug your shoulders and risk some face time with the dude with the hatchet. Well, he leaves out an important part. Chuck, does a hubcap thief just come up and grab a hubcap by his hands and pull it off and walk away?
No, he's got a tire iron.
He's usually got a tire iron. So it's like, okay, your choice was between somebody with a tire iron or somebody with an axe. You're going to be just as dead, but you decided to go with the one that doesn't sound so bad, because a hubcap thief sounds very less criminal than axe murderer. Now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, they're the same.
Well, that's right.
They're the same. Well, they're both criminals, and they're both doing evil acts. And before we get yelled at, I'm not saying that Romney's doing evil acts, and I'm sure that people would say Obama's doing evil acts, but that's neither here nor there. The whole point is, when somebody says it's the lesser of two evils, and they are okay with doing that and voting for it as a professing Christian, that's where it gets to be problematic and gets to be difficult, because now you have a crisis of worldview. You have a crisis of, is God's word true, or is it subject to the circumstance, the situation of the either-or dichotomy that I've been put in voting?
Well, first of all, I think that analogy is false. The whole axe murderer versus hubcaps thief.
Sure.
My analogy has been for years, Barack Obama is the thief that comes up and sticks a gun in your back and says, give me your wallet. Mitt Romney is the guy that comes and shakes your hand and sits down with you at your table. And when you're not looking, he steals your PIN number, cleans out your bank account all the time, pretending he's your friend. Which one would you rather deal with? Well, the end result is the same. The thief gets your wallet and your personal belongings, and the thief gets your bank account and your personal belongings. I don't see much difference there.
No, there's not a whole lot of difference there.
The idea that somehow Barack Obama, it's an analogy that tries to lead you to the idea that because the abortion question has come up, that Barack's more pro-abort than Mitt Romney. Guess what? Under Bain Capital, Mitt Romney was knee-deep in the blood of dead babies.
Yes. He absolutely was, but that seems to be being glossed over by many in our pro-life community because they're concerned about Barack Obama, and rightly so, in relation to the conscience clause mandates and the providing of abortifacient drugs and abortion on demand. Yes, all those things are bad, but there really is a situation where you have to know a man by his fruit. Not by what he says, but by what he does.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to laugh because when you see statements like Ron Paul, Gary Johnson, and Virgil Good do not stand for collectivism. But right now, they stand in the way of stopping collectivism. Has everyone forgotten that Mitt Romney is the grandfather of Obamacare?
Again, that's one of those things that's conveniently being pushed under the rug by people who know better and who just don't want it coming out there saying it. And again, before our listeners get the wrong impression, we're not here stumping for the reelection of Barack Obama. As a matter of fact, I would hate to see that. I think you used a great analogy from a friend of ours who we may have on later on another topic as an interview, saying if the choice was between Barack Obama and a can of orange juice, I'd vote for the can of orange juice. So, you know, what it gets down to, ladies and gentlemen, is we're in a situation where I don't think it does any good if somebody has a conviction about their vote and they feel that their vote would be wasted or it would be a sin to vote for the either-or choices before us. The arrogance of the hangers-on, especially in the Republican Party, to assume that, well, because you're a Christian, your vote belongs to the Republican candidate. Chuck, that's idolatry, is what it gets right down to, and it's offensive.
And yet, sadly, Barry, you and I have seen that in action.
Time and time again. And I know some of my good friends are probably going to hate me for saying this, but it's time for you to give it a rest, because my vote is my obligation before my God that my conscience has to stand for based upon my understanding of his directions in his word to me. It doesn't belong to Mitt Romney. It doesn't belong to Barack Obama. And if I don't give it to one, that doesn't mean that I've given the other one a vote.
Well, Barry, to wrap this up tonight, this part of the article, this is at the very end, just is an embarrassing argument. He makes a thing about this is no time to make a statement or pout that Ron Paul got badly treated in Tampa. He did get treated badly in Tampa, and that was stupid and unnecessary. But if you're truly dedicated to the Constitution, this is where it gets really, really wild. If you're truly dedicated to the Constitution, you won't let it get trampled in order to make some soon-to-be moot point to the anonymous GOP party hacks responsible for not giving Ron Paul a primo speaking slot. Those anonymous GOP party hacks are Rents Priebus and the entirety of the Republican National Committee. Barry, those are the people who are in charge. They run the rulemaking apparatus. It had nothing to do with whether Ron Paul got a speaking engagement or not. It had to do with what was done to the rules at the Republican National Committee.
Exactly.
Now, this thing about dedication to the Constitution, listen to this. Really, I mean, this just hackles me.
Priorities, people.
Nothing less than the Constitution is at stake here. And Mitt Romney is the guy who's going to restore the Constitution? Show me what in his record indicates that.
Well, nothing in his record, but if he ends up being the white horse prophet of Mormon belief, then that's exactly what he's going to be doing, right?
Barry, the choice here is unfortunately assault the Constitution from the left or assault the Constitution from the right. The fact is Mitt Romney is not going to restore the Constitution. He's already compromised Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan used to be a 100% pro-lifer. He used to be on the personhood bandwagon and is all of a sudden making noise about rape and incest exceptions.
Yeah, that's right. Being okay.
And the reason for that is to lasso votes. No more, no less. So much for non-compromising on the issues. This thing ends, no choice is a choice, and with the polls showing a dead even race, every vote that does not go to Romney is effectively a vote for Obama. Again, here's that meme again.
Yes.
So it isn't. A non-vote for either one of these candidates is a vote for whatever candidate does actually get voted, period. There's no debate here. You opt out and you support Obama by default. There is a debate here, and we've just gone through the arguments against that stupid argument. How can any principled libertarian do that? This isn't about libertarianism. This is about Christian constitutionalism. And the fact is that neither one of these candidates of the major party meets the criteria. Neither one of them are constitutional candidates.
I just say, vote your conscience before God. If we're believers and we hold to a biblical worldview, we can look in God's word and we can pray about it, and we have to set it aside because God did not give us a spirit of fear. So it can't be about Obama's horrible and we've got to get rid of him because that's fear. It has to be about, This is the person whose God has chosen who meets his requirements for a leader, or else it's this is the person God has chosen because it meets his requirements for a tyrant to bring a judgment down on his people. And that's what it gets down to. And so you have to pray. But remember, only you are going to stand in the judgment for all your actions in this life, including, I believe, the exercise of your vote.
Ladies and gentlemen, vote for who your conscience tells you to vote for, but don't get suckered by bad arguments like this, because this is really bad. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.